Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
We're here again today with Francis Ball. Francis, thank you for joining us.
Good to be with you again.
Francis, today's message is a continuation of the last program where Witness Lee began the discussion concerning transformation, and he related it to the consummation of the Bible, the New Jerusalem. Can you prepare us for today's word by giving us a brief review, maybe connecting these two important items?
Well, I can certainly try. I realize that many Christians don't even know that the Bible covers the matter of transformation. Their concept of transformation many times is what's going to happen when the Lord comes and we're resurrected or we're changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. They call that transformation. But that's not what Witness Lee has been talking about, and we'll talk about again today. Transformation is a process that Christians must go through in order to be filled with life, to be matured in life, and to be the expression of life, and participate in the very nature and life of God. And the interesting thing is that this is all depicted in the first 2 chapters of Genesis. Nearly all the truths in the whole Bible are contained in those first 2 chapters in a seed form, and transformation is one of those. But what you have here in a seed form is a garden, a tree, a river, and some precious materials. And those materials in that river are really pictures of the transforming, the saving life of Christ, and how he works in the believers to consummate his whole purpose, which you find at the end of the Bible. So the first 2 chapters, you have a garden. The last 2 chapters of Revelation, the end of the Bible, you have a city, a building. So to put these two together is very meaningful. Transformation, consummation. I like these T-I-O-N words, like regeneration and transformation and conformation and glorification and consummation. These are all very meaningful words in our understanding of the Christian life. But so many people only know the word salvation. But there's a lot more shuns, T-I-O-N words, that describe our Christian experience. And the final one, the consummation, is the New Jerusalem. And this is the fulfillment that takes place, the issue that takes place after the transformation of the believers. Then we become those who really are one with God in life, nature, expression, and in the New Jerusalem, we are just God and man mingled together.
Francis, with that introduction, I have to ask you, I know, have been a believer, a Christian for many, many years. Did you see in the first 2 chapters of Genesis all of the seeds of these marvelous items that are developed throughout the whole Bible before you came in contact with this ministry?
No, I have to confess, I certainly didn't see these seeds in Genesis 1 and 2. But once this is opened up, the whole Bible opened up. I saw the beginning and I saw the end. Of course, I'm still very much learning all the things in between. When you read a book, you read the first chapter, you read the last chapter, you get a direction for the book. Since getting into this ministry, I've realized we got a real direction in all the things that we read in the Bible, so they fit. All the pieces come together because we know the end from the beginning, and we know the beginning is for the end.
Thank you, Francis, for that wonderful introduction. Let's join Witness Lee with today's life study of Genesis.
God has a purpose, and to fulfill God's purpose, God made man in a way as a vessel to contain man. And for this purpose, God made man a spirit. Right. Never forget the word by the Lord Jesus, telling the Samaritan woman, God is spirit. they that worship God must worship in spirit. God is a spirit, and he has made us a spirit. Now, if we are going to worship God, we have to use our right organ. You cannot drink water by exercising your ears. Right? You can't do it by exercising your ear. You cannot drink water. If you are going to take water in, surely you have to exercise your mouth. The right organ. Now God is the living water. If you are going to take God in as your living water, you have to exercise your spirit to contact him, to worship him. When you exercise your spirit to contact God the Spirit, that means you are drinking of God as the living water. And we all know whatever we eat, we take into us. And that matter will be fully assimilated into our being. Amen. This is meaningful, and this is very significant. God to us is life in the form of food for us to take in by eating. God gets into us. And God is also the flow of life. It is this flow that brings forth the three kinds of materials. Number one, this flow of the divine life within us firstly brings in God's divine nature. This is typified by gold. All the Bible scholars do agree with this point, that gold in typology signifies the divine nature. And this divine nature has been brought into our being. Whenever you would go to God and worship him by exercising your spirit and call him Father, or you pray Lord and so forth, I tell you, after 5 minutes and after 10 minutes, the longer the better, after 1 hour, after 2 hours, my, after your prayer, you would have the sensation, my, you are so golden. You know, we were made of clay. We were not made of gold. But after we were made, God's intention was that we would take gold into us. Hallelujah. Now, as the flow of life brings in the divine nature into our being, I tell you, then you have another element added into your human element. Now the transformation starts. Transformation always needs some new element added into the original element. Suppose I'm a person so pale. If you do some change on my face, that is not transformation. That is a kind of outward change. That is a kind of performance. That is not a real change. But if we are going to have a real change, we all have to take some element into our being. By what way? By eating. My, now, day by day, you and I, we all eat. Eat. All American riches. Day by day, day by day. After 1 minute, my, look at me. I'm really transformed. Not by the outward doing. Transformed by the inward metabolism. There is a change in life which is called metabolism. And metabolism, we all know, means to bring something new into something old. To discharge all the junk and replace all the junk with something new. Then you will have a metabolic change. This is transformation. And the Bible in the New Testament does use this word, transformation.
Francis, let's stop right here and ask a question. It's wonderful to see that God, as the flow of life within us, brings the divine nature into our being. And by so doing, He begins the process in us of transformation. Witness Lee mentioned that transformation is not an outward cosmetic change or performance, and then he used the word metabolic. Would you describe how such a word that sounds almost biological, is appropriate in the spiritual realm?
I believe this term is very, very appropriate in the spiritual realm. It's really a process which acts on what we eat to add into our being the life energy that we need to go on. And it also indicates a discharge of the negative things, the waste. So if you compare this use of the word biological to indicate a description of the transformation that we go through, it's quite meaningful because the Lord Jesus said, "He that eats me, even he shall live because of me." This matter of eating Jesus sometimes offends people. They think in a cannibalistic term, just like the Pharisees did when they said, "Who can eat this man's flesh?" But Jesus said, "Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." To see the use of this word means that it's something of life. Transformation is not something outward performed, but it's an inward change of life. When God's life comes into us by regeneration, it begins to operate. It begins a process of changing our whole being, renewing our mind, and eventually will even transfigure our bodies because it has to do with the addition of another element and the discharge of the old element.
Amen. Let's go back and join Witness Lee for more of today's life study of Genesis.
So you see, in the middle, you do not only have silver, but also pearl. And pearl was the original concept. Silver is something changed in the midway. Because after Genesis 2, sin came in. Just pearl is not adequate. You need the silver to redeem, to take sin away, right? What is pearl? You know, here is a big sea, big ocean. The oyster grows in the sea. Then one day, the oyster would be wounded. Then some little rock gets into the wound of the oyster. And right away, the oyster secretes its life juice around the little rock. And with all the secretion of the life juice of the oyster, this little rock become a pearl. Isn't this meaningful? Christ is the oyster. He lived in this world, the big ocean. And he was really hurt, owned by us. After we hurt him, owned him, we stay at his wound. And his life secretes all what he is around us. And we are all the little signs, the little eyes, being fully enclosed with his life secretion.
Amen.
Then we become what?
Pearls.
What is this? I tell you, this is regeneration. Originally, we were rocks, sand, but now we become pearls. With some life juice secreted all around our being.
Right.
And it's so good that this pearl is at the gate of the city. You know, the gate is the entrance. This is just entry into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
You see, except one be born anew, or be born again, or be born of the Spirit, this one can never enter into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. But we all have been born again.
Amen.
So we can enter into the kingdom. Not only so, we just become the entrance of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Look at the New Jerusalem. When you got into the new city through the gate of the pearl, right away, you are on the street of gold.
Amen.
You are walking according to the divine nature.
Right.
The divine nature becomes your way. Where should you go? What way should you take? The divine nature is your way. Regeneration is your gate. It's your entry. After regeneration, after you enter in, you are on the way of gold, the way of God's nature. Do you walk this way? Do you go this way? Go what way? Go the golden way. We enter the pearl gate, now we are walking and going the golden way.
Francis, regeneration, Brother Lee pointed out, signifies the pearl gates as our entrance into the New Jerusalem. Then, once we enter the gates, we begin walking the way signified by the golden street according to the divine nature within us. Francis, tell us from your own experience what it means to walk according to the divine nature. How do we walk on this golden way?
You know, when I first became a Christian, I loved the Bible. And I got some very good helps in commentaries and messages that helped me to want to live a Christian life. So I started correcting myself, the way I talked, the way I dressed, the way I did a lot of things. And it wasn't till later, actually, after hearing messages like we're hearing today, that I began to realize that it's not like keeping the law, like trying to correct yourself to try to do the right thing. But there is actually another life in us. We have the divine nature. According to 2 Peter 1:4, we're made partakers of the divine nature. So we have a nature in us that's divine. It's depicted here as a golden street. To me, it's marvelous that in this picture of the gold, we see the indication that we are to become golden men. We're to be men with a golden nature. Now, that nature is in us, in our spirit, and operating, moving all the time. You ask about some experiences I have of walking according to the divine nature. I really can testify I do have a lot of experiences like this. For example, sometimes I'm driving down the freeway, and my eye catches a billboard. And within me, I have a sense, don't look. Turn your eyes away. And then sometimes, even when I'm talking with my wife, a feeling within me will say, don't say that. That's not the way to minister and to enjoy fellowship with your wife. Other times, not only with my wife, but even with some of the brothers that I work with, I say something or I do something, I think unintentional, but actually it was an offense and it was an insult. And the Lord within me will say, you better apologize. Then sometimes when I go to buy something, within me, I have a sense, don't buy that tie. It is not appropriate. Or don't wear that shirt. That's not the right one. It seems like a small thing, but this is the meaning of our Christian life, to live according to the divine nature that's within us.
Thank you. Those are very helpful illustrations, Francis. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of today's life study.
You have the pearl gate, and you have the golden street, but you don't have the wall yet. No wall. And what is a wall? A wall is a separation that separates things within from things without. Right. In other words, it separates things holy from things common. Right. And how could this be built up? By transformation. You know, brothers, after you enter the pearl gate, and while you are walking on the golden street, you think that you are quite okay with the Lord. Because you entered, and you are walking on the street of gold. But let me tell you, some of the times while you are walking, something happened to you. You expect, as a young man, to have a very good sister as your wife. And as a young lady or young sister, you expect to have a very good young brother as your husband. All the married ones can tell you. 25% enjoyment, 75% suffering. I'm not joking. Don't you believe? Don't you agree with me? Not only so, my, I tell you, along the golden way, a lot of little thorns. pricking you. This is for what? For transformation.
Amen.
For transformation.
Amen.
You know, we were made pieces of clay. Right? In essence, we are the earthen vessels. Vessels are good. But the nature, the material, the element, doesn't fit New Jerusalem. Look at the New Jerusalem. There's nothing clay. No bricks. No bricks. Only transformed stones. And precious stones. You got to be precious. So, Paul warned us how to build the church. Yes, we all are human. But all humanity has to be resurrected. The natural humanity is not good for God's building of His church. The church building needs the transformed humanity. Not the natural humanity, but the humanity transformed into precious stones. Now, we all have to see what we need for the Lord's building is the divine nature. Plus the pearl entry and the precious stone in transformation. The more we have these items, I tell the truth, the more we will be spontaneously, automatically, and so easily built one with another. We will be faithfully framed together. Build one with another into the habitation of God in our spirit. This is the transformation for God's building.
Francis, it's interesting to note that in the New Jerusalem, there's no clay. We see only gold and pearl and precious stone. And in this last section, Witness Lee discusses that to become the New Jerusalem, we must be regenerated, partaking of the divine nature, and transformed into precious stones. He mentions that this transformation takes place through the sufferings and the hardships that we experience in our daily life.
But sufferings are really our servant. If we don't suffer, we very seldom would turn to the Lord. We very seldom would pray. We very seldom would really read our Bible. But we do this because we realize there is a goal. There is something to be gained, and in order to gain that, we cannot hang on to our own life, our selfish life, our self-life, and still gain that treasure. So, the sufferings come by the allowance of God, but God does not cause us to suffer directly, but He uses our suffering to cause us to turn to Him. There is a need to transform something from clay to precious stones. Of course, that requires some heat and some suffering. We need to welcome these things as an opportunity to gain Christ because it is actually transforming us from being a clay person to becoming a precious stone. And only precious stones will be built into God's eternal habitation, the New Jerusalem.
Thank you, Francis. This is marvelous to see this point. No, whether God causes suffering or allowed suffering, we don't know. But we surely do know that He is economical in that whatever befalls us, He is able to use it for His good and for our good to transform us into these precious materials. Thank you for this fellowship. For Francis Ball, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you for listening today.